Translation. This is Hiranyakashipu speaking, of course, to Lord Brahma. Grant me that I not die within any residence or outside any residence during the daytime or at night, nor on the ground or in the sky. Grant me that my death not be brought by any being other than those created by you, nor by any weapon, nor by any human being or animal. Support by Srila Prabhupada. Hiranyakashipu was very much afraid of Vishnu's becoming an animal to kill him, because his brother had been killed by Vishnu when the Lord took the shape of a boar. He was therefore very careful to guard against all kinds of animals. But even without taking the shape of an animal, Vishnu could kill him by hurling his Sudarshana Chakra, which can go anywhere without the Lord's physical presence. Therefore, Hiranyakashipu was careful to guard against all kinds of weapons. He guarded against all kinds of time, space, and countries, because he was afraid of being killed by someone else in another land. There are many other planets, higher and lower, and therefore he prayed for the benediction of not being killed by any resident of any of these planets. There are three original deities, Brahma, Vishnu, and Maheshwara. Hiranyakashipu knew that Brahma would not kill him, but he also wanted not to be killed by Lord Vishnu or Lord Shiva. Consequently, he prayed for such a benediction. Thus, Hiranyakashipu thought himself securely protected from any kind of death caused by any living entity within this universe. He also carefully guarded against natural death, which might take place within his house or outside of the house. So the translation again, grant me that I not die within any residence or outside any residence during the daytime or at night, nor on the ground nor in the sky. Grant me that my death not be brought by any being other than those created by you, nor by any weapon, nor by any human being or animal. So this is the calculation of the typical demon who wants to go on enjoying forever. Prabhupada says in the fifth canto, he says that Hiranyakashipu is the representative type for the sinful desires of a human being. Hiranya and gold and Kashipu, soft bed, means desire for two things, wealth and sexual enjoyment, Hiranya and Kashipu. So he symbolizes all these things. And Prabhupada points out that we also have a prayer, just like he's praying inside and out. We have a prayer, Bahir Nisringa Riddaye Nisringa. Every day we pray like that. And when we are praying, we are praying for the protection of the Sringadeva, Bahir, from the external enemies, and Vidaye Nisringa. So the external energies may be what Prabhupada called somewhere the tiny Hiranyakashipus of today, referring to Hitler, Stalin, whoever prances around trying to lord it over. Enemies of the Krishna consciousness movement. These are the outside enemies. But then there's the Hridaye Nisringa. There's the Nisringadeva in the heart. And so we discover when we become, try to become advanced in Krishna consciousness, that sure enough, there he is. This little organized personality of material desires situated in the heart. So he says that when we say Hridaye Nisringa, we are inviting the Sringadeva to come and sit in our hearts and destroy our Hiranyakashipu-like material desires. So in a way, this is very heartening news that we can pray like this, because devotional service is, we have a high ambition. Merely to become free from material desires. I mean, easier to become a neurosurgeon or something than that. And that's just the beginning. We want to go on beyond that. Attain so many advanced levels of Krishna consciousness. How is it possible? And this is always the doubt, you know, that we have, that somehow or other Krishna consciousness is, well, it's just not doable. Because, and one thing is we discouraged by our own material desires, which are very deep-rooted and formidable. They're like Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu is described later on in this canto as a fever of meningitis within the head of the universe. And that everyone was so afraid of him. Even Narada Muni said he used to offer him respects. So he was certainly formidable. And so many people were defeated. I mean, he was sitting on Indra's throne. And yet we see, although Hiranyakashipu was so powerful and stalwart, still, when he came face to face with Nrisingadeva, he was nothing. He was dismembered. Eviscerated. He was completely ripped apart. So if we see that we are praying to Nrisingadeva, appear within my heart and destroy my Hiranyakashipu-like material desires, we may be discouraged that those desires are so strong, deeply rooted, persistent. And we can see also that by my own efforts and my own will, I can't possibly pull them out. But actually it is not us that is going to destroy those desires. It's Lord Nrisingadeva who will destroy those desires for us. So the answer to the doubt is, how is Krishna consciousness possible? The answer is that Krishna helps the devotees. This would put the devotees in more favorable positions than jnanis and yogis and other kinds of transcendentalists who have to depend upon their own strength. We have the strength of Krishna. So Krishna has admitted that this material energy of mine, you know, it is very difficult to cross over. It's acknowledged fact by Krishna. Mameva myeva pajyante, but one who has surrendered to me, he can easily cross beyond it. So Prabhupada has explained that the living entity is under the control of material nature, which is very powerful. But if Krishna says to material nature, let that living entity go, it's a done deed. It'll let you go. Because she is subordinate to Krishna. So I wanted to bring this up this morning because there are many things that discourage us in devotional service. And of course, what's on many of our minds is the discouraging fact that one stalwart devotee in our movement has seemed to have succumbed to the illusory energy. I'm talking about my godbrother, Jagadish Prabhu. I thought we should bring this up since it's on everybody's minds anyway. And this is certainly a discouraging fact. I mean, Prabhupada has noted that we have seen in the past, and I'm sure we will see in the future, people who seem to be fairly advanced in the path of Krishna consciousness slip and fall. It's happened a lot. In our GBC resolutions, we have different procedures about what is supposed to be done if a spiritual master falls or appears to be fallen. Now, we've got these procedures of what's supposed to be done, these guidelines, from a book by Narahari Sakar, or Krishna Bhajanamrita. Narahari Sakar was an associate of Lord Chaitanya, the fact that the book was written shows that there was a problem, even at that time. So one can understand that that this is something that goes on, that we get discouraged and disheartened, and we wonder what to do. Is it possible? We see somebody like somebody's been a devotee for so long, who served for such a long time, that appeared to be so many advanced, could give so many instructions, led so many other people nicely, and then something happened and, oh, they go away from Krishna consciousness, and we think, oh, was that spiritual advancement just an appearance? Or if it was real, how could you make so much advancement and then lose it again? And anyway, if that person couldn't stay steady, then how can I? So these are all different reactions. And of course, people are going to react differently. For those of us who are in positions of some responsibility in our movement, we have to conduct a kind of accident review when something like this happens. But one thing is, you should notice that Prabhupada has given us a very nice movement in which it's possible to conduct an accidental review, an accident review. I think that in creating ISKCON, Prabhupada has made a kind of a vehicle. Well, it is my firm faith, I'm just speaking personally, of course, because I also, I'm here, this is an institute in which I am a member, which I support, in which I have faith, and there are so many initiating gurus, somewhere 60-some-odd initiating gurus in our movement. I'm encouraging people to come and surrender. I have to think, am I misleading these people? Are they going to lose out if something like this happens? So I have to do a little soul-searching also. And we have to say, those of us who are godbrothers of this person, what went wrong? What was the mistake? We have to conduct this accident review. But it's nice that we can do that, that we can come together and we can conduct such a thing, because that means that some repairs can be made. We have an institution that will survive any such things and that can improve itself. That's Prabhupada's contribution. Formerly, it was a system that the ISKCON is a little revolutionary. You know, it's a system in which you have an institution in which many, many, many different spiritual masters and all their many different disciples will come together and cooperate and work together cooperatively to spread Lord Chaitanya's movement. Generally, we see the history in India is, as you get one person who's an advanced devotee, a spiritual master, that person has his own institution. It's a one man, one institution. And every spiritual master has got his own little mutt or situation. And so if something happens to that person, everything falls apart. Or that person departs this world and there's no such person, no similar person to qualify to carry on, the whole institution goes into failure. Until maybe somebody else comes. But Prabhupada's creating an institution that can go on under so many different circumstances. So ISKCON is a very, very large ship. A great ship to cross the dangerous ocean of Kali. Very large and secure ship. That's not to say maybe that it's the only ship. There may be little ships other places crossing the ocean. They may get you to the other side. In fact, I think some of those little ships may, you know, fasten lines to our big ship and be towed along. And that's okay, we don't mind. They may even say they're pushing us, but be magnanimous. But this is something that Prabhupada has created, this situation. And in that situation, we have people that can say when something like this happens, because it will happen, it has happened in the past, and it will happen in the future. We have an accident review. Just like in my country, we have an organization, the Federal Aviation Administration. So when there's an airplane crash, you know, immediately experts come, they recover the wreckage, they analyze everything, they get the flight data recorder, they see what went wrong. They spare no pains to find out what went wrong. And then many times they find, oh, it's a mechanical failure, they send out, or a little glitch somewhere, they send out a message to all the other pilots, I mean all the other plane manufacturers, fix this rudder control under certain circumstances when the temperature is cold and the humidity is high, this may go wrong, so fix this. Or we found there's a pilot procedure that's mistaken from now on, and so this way, accidents get rarer and rarer. I mean, actually, in at least the United States, airplane accidents are fairly rare. They say it's the safest form of transportation. The fatalities per passenger mile are very, very low compared to, say, automobiles. But on the other hand, when an airplane crashes, you know, there's 200-300 people, so it always makes the headlines. But actually, it's the safest mode of transportation. But they're trying to make it safer and safer. But they point out we can't guard against every eventuality. So we also have a system to make it safer and safer. We're already looking at this particular situation. We see, well, maybe we need to have certain guidelines that when sannyasis have female disciples, how they should engage in counseling and guidance to make sure there's no undue association, different things like that. So we conduct such an investigation. We don't have to do it here and now. This is not the place. But that's going on. And all of us can learn to see what, in this person's heart, we can see what went wrong. Sometimes you can find out. And then we can also learn from this. Prabhupada said, you learn from experience, and experience means you make mistakes. So long as we're learning from our mistakes, from our accidents, and we improve, then that's our best. Recourse. So this is the system that Prabhupada gave us. We can carry on like this, and I have complete faith in Prabhupada's system. It's not foolproof. Because this is the material world, in one sense, nothing is foolproof. And we should not do some foolish things to fix it. One foolish thing is, of course, to change the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. You know, we have our people who are propagating some kind of philosophy that, we see that maybe we can't be confident that any spiritual master won't fall down. So let's change the philosophy. Prabhupada will be the initiating guru, and now everyone else will just be, officiating Ritvik, not really spiritual master. You know, you're familiar with this propaganda. They're threatening to come here on Prabhupada's appearance day and make some kind of protest or take over the proceedings. I don't know what. But, see, that's a change. Parampara, system parampara means one after another. And to change something like this, to say that this should be, we don't have the authority to make a change in the philosophy. Of course, most of these people, they just think it's a great idea. You see, wouldn't it be great? Everybody would be Prabhupada's disciple, and then if we get initiated for somebody, that person falls down. Well, we're still Prabhupada's disciple, nothing is effective. So that's it. So it was a good idea. So therefore, Prabhupada must have had it. They're going to backdate it, you know. Or else say somehow or other that Prabhupada wanted to give us this instruction, but somehow failed to communicate it to us. People who think that could have happened don't know Prabhupada. Prabhupada was an excellent communicator. Excellent communicator. And I've been with Prabhupada when he wanted to give somebody instructions. You know, just to give an example, one year I was in Mayapur. I wasn't a member of the GBC, so I didn't see Prabhupada all the time, but during Mayapur festivals as a temple president, I would get to see him. So I was in his room in Mayapur, and there was some people were showing Prabhupada some pictures. It was in Los Angeles. And they were showing Prabhupada. They had had some dance performance in the Los Angeles temple. So there were dancers all nicely dressed up doing Bharatanatyam dancing or something like that, right in front of the altar. So they're showing Prabhupada, you know, these big glossy photographs. And Prabhupada is looking and looking. They're waiting for Prabhupada to say, "Very nice." Prabhupada looks up, he says, "Why are the backs to the deities?" "What, Prabhupada?" "The dancers. All the backs are to the deities." "Well, Prabhupada, the way the Los Angeles temple is set up, so you can't do a dance like this without having the facing the audience, because there's no other way." Prabhupada said, "No, no." He said, "Backs are not to be turned to the deities. Why are the backs to the deities?" "Well, Prabhupada, Jayatirtha," he was the GBC, "Jayatirtha said we could do it." Uh-oh. Silence. Eyes open in astonishment. Prabhupada looks around the room. "Oh, Jayatirtha has said. Rupa Goswami has said not to turn the backs to the deities. But Jayatirtha has said it is all right. So Jayatirtha has become big, big acharya. That is the trouble with this movement. So many big, big acharyas. Call all the GBC." So we sat down while people went out, and gradually the GBC, you know, came in. Unfortunately, some more Jayatirtha wasn't available, but nearly everybody else. And then Prabhupada went through it again. "See the pictures? Dances. Oh, nice, Prabhupada. Nice. It is not nice. Backs it to the deities. Oh, yeah, that's bad. Jayatirtha has said it." They went through the same thing, you know. And then he explains, you know, from the top down, from the bottom up, from left to right, and from right to left, that the back should not be turned to the deities. This was put down by Rupa Goswami, and we are not in a position to change it. Now, I heard Prabhupada, you know, and when Prabhupada gave instructions, he gave it in such a way that you remember. On another occasion in 1975, he came to my temple. I was the temple president. And a small thing, he called me in. He had some money, some Guru Dakshini he gotten at the Rath Yatra. He wanted me to make a wire transform, wire transfer to his bank account. I came in the room, he stomped everything. He got his secretary over, got the money, gave me the money, explained to me how to do the wire transfer. I've never seen anybody explain anything with such clarity and with such precision. In the course of it, found out that the secretary had made a mistake in the account books, corrected the account books, had me repeat back to him to make sure I understood how he did it. It was the most crystal clear instructions. That's just two incidents. There are many, many more. When Prabhupada wanted to explain something, he knew how to do it. If he wanted to make some big, big change like this in disciplic succession of Guru Parampara, believe me, we would have known it. He wouldn't have whispered it in somebody's ear, you know, something like that, and somebody could cover it up. He wasn't a fool. He was. So that's not what it is people think it would be a great idea, and so Prabhupada must have had it. That's the only way I can explain this persistent notion. Wouldn't it be neat? Well, it wouldn't be neat, because it's not the system that's given to us by Srila Prabhupada or by the previous acharyas. That we cannot mess with the relationship between the disciple and the spiritual master. That's not our business. But it's true, now we are conducting our sphere, our activities within the sphere or the protection of ISKCON. It's a nice arrangement. I have people who are my disciples in my area. There are many other gurus. I'm like their father, they're like the uncle. During the old days, during the Dzongla Acharya days, there was some crazy idea that if one disciple had some affection for some other spiritual master, it was unchaste. I don't know where this conjugal metaphor came from. The spiritual master is not the husband of the disciples, and especially not the husband of his female disciples. He's not the husband, he's the father. It's the paternal metaphor. And so if the spiritual master is your father, then you can have many, many, many uncles. So in unity there's strength. So we have seen, and this is the family. We say it's, you know, we have to look at those of us in the West, we have to look at Indian families, the extended family, for they're all living together. And so there's practically, you know, there's father and uncles, the difference is not very much, just like the difference between cousins and brothers is not very much. This is not Indian, this is human. Just what's in the modern world is perverse. With the nuclear family, or this case, I guess we have to call it the subnuclear family. You know? So we are a big family. And so one should have shelter of this family. If somebody should by, unfortunately, it is a misfortune, should falter and become weak, there's many other people that we can take shelter of. ISKCON is a, you know, if you feel like you're on a high wire, there's a big safety net. That's there with this movement that is not anywhere else. And you have the shelter of Srila Prabhupada's big ship. That's also there also. The other people, another thing that people think when something like this happens, another, I think, mistaken conclusion, is some kind of nostalgia or a misplaced idea that somehow or other I want to, we have to have as a spiritual master somebody that we have sure and certain knowledge cannot possibly fall down, like we had with Prabhupada. That's the demand. I understand that demand. Of course you want somebody who will not fall down. Naturally, when you surrender to a spiritual master, you do so on the basis of faith. You have that conviction he can't fall down. But it's not that, for example, when I surrendered to Prabhupada, how did I know he couldn't fall down? Well, quite frankly, I lived in a temple for 6 months, and I had faith in Prabhupada. I didn't know. It was faith. It turned out, by good fortune, to be incorrectly placed, but it was faith. I didn't know. People are looking for a day, and they have nostalgia for a day, you know, when we had one self-effulgent acharya that everybody knew was a fixed-up, transcendental personality resident of Goloka Vrindavan. Well, it wasn't really like that. You know, everyone didn't know that. I was there. There were many, many people that had doubts about Srila Prabhupada. But their voices are not heard. Where are they now? Somewhere. Not in ISKCON. If they had doubts in Srila Prabhupada, they left. Nowadays, our situation is different. We have many, many spiritual masters. One person has some doubt about his spiritual master. They don't leave ISKCON. They stay around and they tell other people, well, I have this doubt. Structurally, the system is different. But it's actually better. You know, if Prabhupada had his way, it would have been better if Prabhupada wasn't the single acharya. It would have been better if there were many, many members of the Gaudiya Math preaching together to spread Krishna consciousness. It is because they failed to do that that Prabhupada had to be the single acharya. Now we are together. That is better. But you can imagine, those of us who are Prabhupada disciples, imagine what it would have been like if there was Prabhupada and five or six of his godbrothers were together preaching the mission. Well, we would have heard, this one doesn't get along with that one, this one has this idea, that one has that idea. We heard these two argue with each other. We would have had more doubts. Like it happens now, so many new disciples, they hear the GBC members argue with each other. We're supposed to, it's our job. that different spiritual masters have different ideas. That's all right. That's a better situation than if you had the security of, you know, one single acharya. We're actually making progress if we can work together. Your love for me, Prabhupada said, will be shown by your ability to cooperate together. Those people that do not like the disadvantages of this cooperation have gone out somewhere else to be the single acharya. They've failed. That is not better. That's worse. We are making progress. But it's true with many spiritual masters together in ISKCON, there's a certain element of relativity that comes in. But we can live with that. In fact, it's actually superior. Because those things to which we're together and which we agree, we are so much stronger. And the disagreement is transcendental. We should advance the Krishna consciousness movement like this. No, we should advance the Krishna consciousness movement like that. How else are we going to discover how to go forward? So this is our system. So this idea that I should have one person that I know, I'm positive, sure and certain. If you have that certainty, it's because you have faith. Because it's like the problem with people who want certain knowledge. But we make the claim all the time that in order to have perfect knowledge, you have to hear from a perfect person, Krishna. And that's true. But if I want to be certain that I have perfect knowledge, then also not only have my source have to be infallible, but I have to infallibly know that is an infallible source. Am I infallible? Well, not in the beginning anyway. Like everybody else, I have faith. And then as I advance, then I know. But like any process of knowledge. Ultimately, there's parejanubhava. There's direct experience. There's vaidusha pratyaksha. Not ordinary perception, but the perception of one who is qualified. This is the science of Krishna consciousness. But the beginning is always faith. So similarly, I have to have somebody who's connected with Krishna, who's an advanced devotee. How can I know that this person will never fall down? How can you know for certain? Since you can fall down, quite frankly, from the platform of bhava. Can I distinguish in my neophyte condition who's got bhava and who's not? Well, I can. Who can make disciples all over the world? Vacho vegam, manasakroda vegam, jivan vegam, udarapasta vegam. That description is there. We should look for somebody who can control those six sense-gratifying elements. That person is qualified, according to Rupa Goswami. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that describes a madhyamadhikari. I can be vajra vegam, manasakoda vegam, and so on, and still it's possible I couldn't fall down. Yet Rupa Goswami says he is qualified. Shall I be able to look and know for certain that this person has got the symptoms of ecstasy? Prabhupada said no. If you have read Prabhupada and Srimad Bhagavatam in the second canto, he's told us, don't look for that. He said this, because there are symptoms of ecstasy, astaka sattvika vikara. There are symptoms of ecstasy, he said, but don't go by them. Because first of all, they can be faked. Or you can have the appearance of those symptoms, but they're not transcendental ecstasies, but some mundane imitation or approximation. You may think they're ecstasies, but actually they come. The ecstatic person may think he's in ecstasy, but it's mundane. And on the other hand, somebody may actually be in ecstasy, and it's all within and will not be showing anything external. So what do we look for? And so Prabhupada gives us a list. Kshanti, not being agitated when there is cause for agitation. Avyakta kalatva, not wasting any moment, not engaged in Krishna service. Virakti, detachment. You know, there's a whole list. Manashunyata, pridelessness. Ashabandha, great hope. Samukkanta, eagerness. Namagana, sade ruche, always wanting to hear the chanting of Hare Krishna mantra, eager to hear the Lord's pastimes, wants to live in a place where Krishna has a residence. This is what you look for. We're told what to look for by Prabhupada. Can we make a mistake in our judgment? We're not infallible. We may misplace, or we may later on, maybe we meet somebody that has all those qualifications as far as anybody can see, but later falls down. But if we have surrendered in good faith, and that has happened, then we will not be the loser. Well, I've gone a little late, but this final point. You can surrender in good faith, and you can surrender in bad faith. If you have surrendered in good faith, an honest endeavor to become Krishna consciousness, you've accepted some more advanced devotee as a spiritual master, and later on this devotee has fallen from the path of Krishna consciousness, you won't be hurt. You will feel wounded, but your Krishna consciousness will not be hurt. Krishna will take care of you. He's not in the business of making it hard or he's putting obstacles in the way of his devotees. You may be very sincere, and maybe some parabdha karma, maybe something in your last life, this had to happen to you. Who knows? But you won't be hurt. And if you surrendered in bad faith, then it doesn't matter. Then you're looking to be hurt. Bad faith means, sometimes, this is the case where Prabhupada says the cheater and the cheated. I want to get a reputation. I want to be known advanced in spiritual life, but I still want to maintain some material attachments. So I find myself as a spiritual master, someone who is in the same situation, and I surrender to that person. Then I know I will not be challenged in that area. I don't maybe do this even fully consciously, but unconsciously I do this. The cheater and the cheated. How can we avoid that? Well, don't be a cheater. Might there be cheaters inside the Krishna consciousness movement? Yes, it may happen. Unfortunately, how we can avoid that? We have to be ourselves sincere and serious. We have to become honest devotees. We have to do everything in our power to become free from all duplicity. We have to become simple of character. All those things in there. Non-deceptive in our desire for Krishna consciousness. And if we are all that, and then something still has gone wrong, then Krishna will protect us. Krishna will protect us. But the best place that Krishna has given to protect us, I'm still convinced, is this ISKCON movement. Now, I don't think being in ISKCON is a substitute for becoming Krishna conscious. But I think ISKCON is the best place for becoming Krishna conscious, and also the best place for carrying on the progressive advancement of Lord Chaitanya's movement. It's not the only place you can become Krishna conscious, I understand that also. But it is still the place where Krishna consciousness movement of Lord Chaitanya will take the next step, the next step, the next step. Prabhupada has given us that legacy to carry on. And I've seen how much Prabhupada suffered and sweated for ISKCON. He worked so hard. He didn't need it for his own personal life, but he sacrificed so much for ISKCON. And I owe it to him to do the same thing. He invested it in it. How can I let his investment neglect his investment? Now, this is what my obligation to Prabhupada that I have. And I still see that I can have full confidence in this movement. Not that I have to be under some illusion that we have to change the philosophy or we have to find something that we have to become infallible ourselves and know. Want somebody who has some, gold stamp guarantee, certified. Then we're asking to be cheated. We should simply become ourselves pure in heart, follow the instruction of Srila Prabhupada, and then there may be different places on the path that may offer us obstacles, but those obstacles will never, ever overcome us. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada. I can't hear you. Let him bring the...
He said that you don't have to be sure that he takes the mantra. Say the prayer.
Yeah.
But then if the certain mantra, if the faith in the mantra is such, that it is stronger than the faith in the law of physics, like gravity and all kinds of other laws. If the faith is stronger than the spiritual mantra, then the faith you have in logic or the faith you have in the law of
is more superior than sure?
Definitely.
That's the first thing.
Definitely. I don't think that faith is... No. Let me understand. Let me just try to make something clear. When we surrender to Krishna, it is an act of faith. Faith is the first step for knowledge. There's nothing wrong with... Faith is not a weak kind of knowledge. But faith, the correct placement of faith is buddhi. So it's intelligence. So you should be very intelligent. If you correctly place your faith, then naturally, faith means we will be convinced. We will be convinced. And naturally, you can't say that, we had faith in Prabhupada, but I can't have faith in anyone else. No, people who surrender to somebody, they also have that conviction that my spiritual master will lead me back to Godhead.
So then I also believe then that maybe there might have been many persons who didn't have that faith in Prabhupada so strong, or who had doubt in Srila Prabhupada, but I'm sure that there are many, many, many devotees who had that faith in Srila Prabhupada.
Mm-hmm.
That faith. So...
Yeah, I do.
And there must be many disciples of many spiritual masters also, who also have that strong conviction,
right.
That faith.
It should be there.
And that faith as well. Then.
Yeah, yeah. And the only thing is that you, when you surrender to somebody, you do so because you have faith in them. It is faith. And if you don't have faith, you shouldn't surrender. But faith is based on intelligence. And to develop intelligence, that is our business in the Krishna consciousness movement. Bhagavad Gita is about buddhi yoga. It's about the formation of intelligence.
Intelligence.
Yeah? Wait till the mic comes.
In the night, Bhakti Garan. First Garan. Talking about the relationship between guru and disciple and selecting a guru and selecting disciple, it's clear from many sources, not one but many, including the Veda, that one should undergo what's called pariksha, which just means examination.
Yeah.
For one, minimum 1 year, the guru and disciple should live together. And after that time, without a doubt, a person can know actually who is this person, is he actually guru, and is actually the disciple.
Yeah, I agree.
And sometimes it's recommended more.
So for a Brahmin, it's said for 2 years, and for a Kshatriya, 6 years, for a Vaishya, 9 years, and for a Shudra and others.
And if it takes you more than a year to be sure, take that time.
And I think that the
takes
last...
takes you 10 years to be sure, take that time. Yeah. Get that microphone.
In the first part of your class, you were talking about the letter from Jagadish Prabhu. So I happened to read that last night. And the central point that he was making in his letter was about this... desire for a deeply affectionate relationship,
yeah.
which he was saying, due to various circumstances, had not been fulfilled and properly purified in a position.
Yeah.
So I was just wondering if you could speak about, what about this point? What do you think about what he had to say about the problem of this this desire being the central point of attachment that is caused by attraction to the opposite sex, yeah. And about the technique for purifying it and these points that he was raising.
Well, this is the sexual desire is enemy number one for one who wants to advance in Krishna consciousness. And from this lesson, we should learn never to be relaxed in the presence of that enemy. He talked about unfulfilled emotional needs. One thing that we should understand is that all our emotional needs can actually only be fulfilled with Krishna. And the definition of faith given by Lord Chaitanya, here's faith again, but I mean faith is a big thing. The definition of faith is that complete conviction that having obtained Krishna consciousness, all other things will be automatically attained. So I have this conviction that if somehow or other I can just satisfy Krishna, all my needs will be taken care of. The mistake is to try to take care of those needs independently or separately from taking care of the desires of Krishna. I have to say this is a fault. This is a lack of faith. So the 10th offense against the holy name is to not have complete faith in the chanting of the Hare Krishna and to maintain material desires, even after understanding so many instructions on this matter. Notice it is not an offense to have a material desire. The offense is to maintain it. To take that material desire, come on, sit down. Make yourself at home. No, Krishna, I'll serve you, but this has to be set aside. Then I'll serve you. What business is mine to put conditions on my service to Krishna? I should be saying, Krishna, I will serve you, and I'm sure I have these desires. I'm trying to kick them out. But anyway, you know what I need better than I know myself. That should be our real priority. Somewhere along the line, Jagadish Prabhu unfortunately became confused and lost his proper sense of priorities. We do have emotional needs. Society, friendship, and love, the desires are there for them, the spiritual part of all time. But somehow or other we cannot become weak of heart and think that somehow I'll surrender to Krishna and whoops, I'm going to be missing out in this department or that department. So the mistake was, yes, we may have so many material desires, but we have to target them for destruction. We have to invite Krishna in the form of Nisringa Dev, please come, sit in our heart and tear this desire apart. If I say to Nisringa Dev, tear desire number 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 apart, but please leave number 6. What will be my position? So it is our sincerity of purpose that is very, very important in this regard, because really there's no material desire that Krishna is not capable of destroying, but he is just awaiting our invitation. Maybe I better stop. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
He gave that instruction. Now he didn't take so many disciples.
Yeah.
And unworthy disciples. He was a spiritual mentor. Doesn't look for the, how is the situation of the disciples, not in their mind and everything.
He warns that once you big fire, little fire, once you be careful.
Yeah.
It doesn't say if you're a little fire, you shouldn't take disciples.
Yeah.
It says if you're a little fire, you should be careful.
Lokanath Goswami, one disciple, Narottam Das Thakur.
Yeah, yeah.
Now we are so many gurus that take so many disciples, there are no discrimination. No? So there must be some change.
Well, Prabhupada also no discrimination, but he said he had no choice.
Yeah, my Prabhupada has done.
Yeah, but he said...
Higher level.
Yeah, well, I know that. We shouldn't imitate him.
Yeah, this is a point that is...
I agree.
But some change, and also, this GBC resolution that 5 years, that one is not breaking the principle, 10 years, Prabhupada decides, but must be changed also. Let me raise the standard.
You can make that suggestion. You can change.
It must be changed. Otherwise, everyone guru, then so many guru for them. Where is the faith after some time?
No. Yeah, I understand the problem. I'm aware of that. Maybe more than you. I mean, Jesus.
It's the biggest shame, you know?
I understand
that. The people surrender to Krishna, surrender to Guru.
Yeah, yeah.
Then the Guru for now is big.
I know what it's like. Yeah, I've seen it.
So we should change something in the resolution, the GBC.
No, that we could. No, I told you, we can fix things. Yeah. We have to look and see we can fix things. But otherwise, I think to have something where you can, you know, fix it so that you can be sure. You know, just like in South India,
Some
Madhva Sampradaya, some groups, their gurus never fall down. You know, he's a sannyasi. He takes sannyasi at the age of 8. They see this person's becoming weak, they keep him locked up. He has men all around him all the time, and at night, he's locked in.
Yeah.
Never falls down. We could do that too, you know? Lock them up at night.
Yeah? That's right.
Every sannyasi is cage.
Now other cases are coming, as you know, no, in Italy. Also, Somaka Maharaj resigned as guru.
Yeah.
And the other also, they want to resign. So it's a big...
I understand the problem.
Big problem, no?
Yeah, no. I'm not denying there's a problem.
Yeah.
I just try to say that I think there's still reason to have hope for Krishna consciousness.
We should establish the guru must be Uttamadhikari, otherwise there's no use of becoming guru.
You know,
because the guru falls down.
You can't. Somebody will not be able to tell. You know. But when you say what Prabhupada says qualifications are, you know, when they were asking him, even he said of himself, he says, I don't even claim to be a liberated soul.
We don't believe that.
No, he said, I don't claim to be a liberated soul. All I claim is that I am strictly following the order of my liberated spiritual master. So I don't believe him. But on the other hand, what he's saying, what you have to look at is not to try to read somebody's mind. Look at how they act. He said, if you're strictly following, then for all practical purposes, everything you do is perfect. You're strictly following. Otherwise, you're going to try to read somebody's mind, go to an astrologer. Who can judge these things?
How many crocodiles there?
Yeah, you know, then you get cheaters and everything.
Jagadish was following very strictly, no?
But he had also admitted that when he was spending so many time counseling the women, he was subtly enjoying it. And that was the...
I remember it was in Italy. He was staying with the one woman alone, no? Till midnight.
And you know, if you see if that's your guru and he's doing that as a disciple, you can go to him.
Yeah.
And say, this, you know, I'm worried. I know you're a great soul, but even great souls come into danger. Please don't do this anymore. You're hurting my faith. You know, you can do like this.
Can I ask you something?
Yeah.
I kind of think it's just, you know, people for self-sexual desires not just associating with women, you know, like with prestige, and we never seen people fall down because of things like that.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And I just want to tell you that this young boy is, you know, he wants to reach for you. And I just say, you know, with this service because with the mission by Jagadishwar, he wants to make a time to speak to you.
Okay.
And so I'm just trying to come and ask you. And I just think you should connect him because he was, you know, shouting at me and telling me not to come near the spiritual master. And I was just trying to make an arrangement with someone
Was he rude to a woman, really?
No, he was shouting at me, telling me not to come near the spiritual master. I said, well, I'm coming near my spiritual master, and you're interfering with my...
I think he just wanted to get to the mic.
Yes, I am, and the point I'm making is that this should be corrected when people don't... You're talking about a family with brothers and uncles,
I apologize for
him. It's not an ego trick.
I don't know, how do you want to, let's get down to business. You want to make some,
yeah.
How to make that arrangement.
Yeah.
Well, I thought somebody would talk about it.
Yeah, maybe you're the only one in Israel now that can...
Well, some people ask me to talk about it.
Yeah, so
yeah. Anyway, I'll have to see you some other time to make that decision. Yeah, I know. Yeah. Yeah, I don't have my schedule booked here or anything like that, you know? Like, I can't say that. At least I can't do it today. You know? Yeah, sure.
You tell that story about the apartheid and the way he behaved, and I was just talking to things, and Kampala got screened up today by somebody who offered some tackles to apartheid, and I was just remembering in Nagpur, when we were there with apartheid, and there was only two ladies there, and there was a room full of men with apartheid, and they were all senior men and sannyasin, and we just peeped in through the curtain to see apartheid, and we didn't know if we ought to go in. And we were being shy and humble, and Prabhupada told us to come in anyway. Everybody stands to one side, and there were two little women who had half the room. And I'm thinking of your story about Joy Sister. The people have to look the way Prabhupada behaves as well. And they need to be very astute and, you know the philosophy. But we've got to look at Prabhupada's behavior too, and he didn't treat us like that.
I know.
I'm not train slapping you. I really enjoy your class.
I know. I agree with you. What can I say? I agree. You're right.
I'm just making a point. I'm just making a comment.
Yeah.
Sure. It's like big monkeys, you know? That people act big.
If she wants to come and talk to me, you know, I'm living on over Braj Bihari's house.
Yeah. Well, if I can just make the point that I want to make now.
Uh-huh.
You bring up a good point that prevention is always better than
Well, first of all, you should try to have faith in Krishna.
Well, we have faith. That's okay. Why I'm Krishna.
Yeah.
I can't.
I don't know about this particular circumstance. Well, I don't know. But sometimes things just take a little bit of time, you know? Sometimes people know that there's problems, but the only way we can deal with it is maybe once a year at Mayapur or something like that.
It's been going on for a lot longer than that.
I have not heard any complaint about it on the GBC level. I don't understand why. You know, sometimes, I tell you something, when I was the chairman of the GBC, people used to call me up and say, there's this problem and there's that problem. And I very quickly learned, I would say to people, put it in writing and send it to me. And then very rarely would I get something in writing.
Well, I did something like that to the GBC chairman. I got a response, and it was very, very bad.
Well, you didn't appreciate his response, huh?
It was very loud. You know, there were devotees getting arrested for collecting fraudulent funds in Australia.
Yeah. No, I didn't know that.
Nearly everyone knows, but no one's doing anything. Everyone's living comfortably, and this one's getting a very bad reputation.
Well, okay, well, there's different ways to go about trying to correct it, but...
Well, how would you suggest I went about it now? I've written to the GBC chairman and many others. Where do you go from here?
First of all, I would never just write to one person. There's three people on the GBC executive committee. There's the chairman, the vice chairman, and the secretary. I'd write to all three. You know, that's one thing I would do. In fact, you can always write to every single GBC member, which in this age of email and duplicating is not so hard. And the other thing to do is not to do it yourself, but to do it with some other people. Make sure your case is strong, make sure you're not just reporting it rumors, you know, to present a decent, fair-minded case. That's the other thing I would do. Sometimes you get complaints and it turns out to be there's nothing there. Sometimes it turns out to be politics or vendetta. sometimes it's real. It's nice to be able to tell the difference as soon as possible. You know? And so that means the people making the complaint should do a little work. But they don't just say, well, I heard this or I heard that. We talked to these people and, you know, a reasonable case. And then you can send it to every single DVC person. Which is pretty simple. Yeah, no, I'm sorry about that.
Would you do all that?
I can take it, but, you know, I can't do it. You know, the best thing is... I just only... The trouble is, you know, one guy can only do so much. That's all. It's like a limit to people's time and omnipotence. If somebody comes up to me and says... Somebody else comes up and says, there's always problems going on somewhere, you know? And what is one guy supposed to do?
Pick out.
You want to say something?
You say that the best way to accept the spiritual master is to see all the qualities he has and all these things may take, and then someone was saying it takes like... The sutras, it takes 12 years or something.
Whatever it takes, to be certain. Perfect. I know the other thing is the formal relationship, you know?
What if, for instance, I met my spiritual master, like, I only met him once or twice, but you're supposed to pray to Lord Nityananda to show you. And I prayed and stuff like that, and it just, like, happened really quickly that I recognized that this would be my spiritual master. And with complete faith, I accepted him.
Mm-hmm.
But is there anything...
But we still have people wait, don't we? There's just an ISKCON law. It has to be a year strictly following before you get initiated. And at least 6 months have a relationship with a particular spiritual master. Mm-hmm. People can have second thoughts, and that's all right. Sometimes that happens. Sometimes people... Somehow or other they get an intuition and they have somebody, faith in somebody right away. But the general rule is, that you have to, the examination. Prabhupada says this also. The spiritual master should examine the prospective disciple, and the prospective disciple has to examine the spiritual master. That's the general rule.
I was born in ISKCON.
A lot of times when you're born in ISKCON, you know, one's parents have a certain person, you grow up having faith in somebody. Well, you can't say that's wrong.
I had many troubles too, like I heard many things. I mean, my mother, she knows Hansa Buddha.
Huh?
My mother knows Hansa Buddha.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I've heard so many philosophies. My father was into Rigvedic, and then I've been mixed up, and then finally I just got fixed on one thing, and then I got sincere, and then immediately it like came to me. I met my spiritual master. I got hit by him, and then I went to one lecture,
even though you had that feeling, you should still take the time to confirm it with later experience. That's only prudent. At my age, you get prudent. Maybe at your age, you're not.
Maybe all this got your mind.
Be nice to women.
That I don't want to look at. That it was just a devotee. I don't know, female or. And if she's screaming, I scream. Because she's going wrong. Anyway. Means this Gaudiya, all Gaudiya Mata, which have the Acharya inside the net, and now maybe if the Acharya disappear or fall down, that would be only building, like something like that.
Yeah.
Very, very,
good across the street.
Like across the street, eh?
Across the Prabhupada system is the one that'll go on. See, the nice thing about Prabhupada system is, say you don't have any really, you have some period of history, but there's no great, great, great devotee. Still, everything goes on. Suppose, otherwise, you know, everything would fall apart. Suppose you have a time in history where you have 15 great, great, great devotees. Do each of them have to have their own movement? No, they can all work together.
Yeah.
So what they, because no big acharyas or 15 big acharyas, they all present a problem, you know? So this way, if things can accommodate, it'll go on no matter what happens. Because you can't tell. There's good times, the bad, you know.
Yeah.
one species. So that's a no own property. Private property. So like this mat is which is in charge there is the property.
Yeah, that's not our system. No.
Yeah, that is
no. Because you know, I saw in Bhagavan's Vyasa Puja book, the original idea was they thought that Prabhupada, these are his carefully selected successors, material and spiritual successors. Almost like they were sons that Prabhupada had given their zones, like in a will.
Yeah.
And that was the misinterpretation.
The king gave his zones. Very nice.
That was the misinterpretation. It's not that he didn't expect them to be gurus, but certainly that idea is not there. I better go in.
Hare Krishna.